This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the besotted Pride of West London weekend review. And I'm Billy Grant, and I'm sitting here the day after we lost yet another game at New Griffin Park. Norwich City came down. I would say Norwich City, who hadn't won a game, had come down to New Griffin Park and only scored two goals. And they were 2-0 up within half an hour, and they went out 2-1 winners. A little bit of a gutter, so we thought that we'll mull over it for the evening, have a few beers, sit down, chat with your mates. And then Sunday we've sat around and we are actually going to review that game. We're going to review the weekend. My name's Billy Grant. And like I said to you, I'm a little bit gutted. I'm sitting here with my chums. I've got Lainey in the house. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, it was a bit of a difficult afternoon's viewing, wasn't it, yesterday? These podcasts are always harder, aren't they, when we've lost, especially after losing four on the trot. But it's important we sort of chew the fat and we kind of unpick what we saw yesterday. So, as always, lots to talk about.
Definitely looking forward to chewing the fat, as they say. We've got a new bee in the house as well. We've got Tommy L in the house. Tommy, how are you?
I'm very well, Billy, thank you. Long-time listener, first-time caller and all that.
That's right. You know, you and it's good to get, like I said to you, it's always good to get different points of views on the show. Like I said, Tommy came up to us and said, listen, I really want to come on the podcast. And we said, anybody can come on the podcast if they want to, as long as you've got, especially when we do these ones, as long as you've got the technical capability. So Tom's technical himself right up today. Like, he's got the headphones on and he's got the screwdriver out and everything, and he's doing the business. So that's all good. So Tom, thanks for having you on the show. So listen, this is the weekend review. We talk about numerous things on this show today. We go through a number of key areas from the game from the weekend before, and we discuss them short, sharp chunks. And then what we'll do is at any other points we might discuss them, well, I say we might discuss them in the forthcoming podcast, which actually won't be this week, because we've actually got a Her Game 2 podcast coming this week for the international week. So we may discuss it in the match coming up next week, which is the Newcastle match. But the first thing that I need to ask you guys one at a time is, what were your main takeaways from the fact that we lost to Norwich City yesterday? Lainey.
My main takeaway was the fact that the unwritten rules of football that we spoke about are alive and they're strong. The dark forces, the kind of like the rules that we know are part of folklore, that you can't win forever, and there's always going to be the team that you think is going to be the easiest one on paper, the game that you need to win. That's the banana skin. We said that Norwich were kind of down on their knees. You know, most people saying they're relegated already. We knew that there was a chance that they were going to come to our place yesterday and turn us over. They set themselves up right. They put two men on all of our danger men, and they did a proper job on us. You know, the minute silence and the last post seemed to send most Brentford players into some sort of trance. So no matter what league you're in, the team and the game that you think is going to be the easiest usually isn't. And yeah, you know, fair play to Norwich. They probably deserve the win, but it wasn't easy watching. So yeah, my main takeaway is the fact that those unwritten rules, they're there. You know, you can't dispute them, you can't fight them.
It's interesting because when we talked about the podcast on Thursday, you get it on prideofwest.london as well, and we were chatting on that. And we also had Chris, the Norwich fan, and we did quite a lot of analysis on that game as well. And we checked Norwich out, and we knew what they were good at, what they were not so good at. And the one thing that they weren't good at was pressing. They just didn't press. They just didn't bother to press in all their games. But they'd obviously done the research, and they were pressing like they were in an ironing farm, weren't they, Laney?
Yeah, it looked like that they had a real motive there. I mean, I think the players were actually were playing for the manager. I think they like him. I think football likes him. I think most Norwich fans like him. I think, you know, Daniel Farke has paid a big price for getting him promoted twice, and it seems, you know, it seemed the players actually put a proper shift in. They were focused. They didn't take their eye off the ball. They blew themselves out in the first half. You know, it shows you that if you want to contain us, you have to basically put 90 minutes worth of energy into 45. That makes me a little bit more hopeful, is that not all teams are going to do that, because not all teams are playing for their lives or their managers' lives. But I just say fair play Norwich, and I don't mean that flippantly, and I don't use that kind of unwritten rules of football as a kind of it was inevitable. Brentford played their part in that defeat as well. We weren't as good as we could have been, should have been, and you know it, but I you could smell it from the three games before. It meant that we needed this break, and that's the other takeaway is, thank God we haven't got to play for 2 weeks. Hopefully we can get some fitter players and some energy levels up.
Tommy L.
Pretty similar to Laney, really. I was hoping that he wasn't going to go there, but I think Norwich are a bogey side for us, most definitely. I can't remember the last time we actually beat them. Probably, I think I might remember Carrow Road when Pritchard and Hotter and the likes of them were in the side.
Yeah, that was the last time we beat them at their place. The time, I think the last time we beat them at our place was actually when what's his name just took over. Their manager just took over when they were in the third tier.
Alex Neil.
No, it wasn't Alex Neil. No, it's the other guy that was at Ipswich. Lambert took over for them, and we played them in. You know, and he literally took over. He's sitting in the stands, and we actually beat them in that game. I think it was in February, and then after that, they never lost a game after that. And they got promoted straight away.
But either way, it feels like an eternity since we've beaten them. You know? Just one of those teams. And Dave's absolutely right. They did do a number on us. They'd obviously done their homework, and they worked out how to beat us. And I think their players were well up for it. I think there's a definite, possibly another football cliche in that we do appear to be capable of lifting ourselves for the perceived big games, and then when the lesser ones come along, if you like, we do seem to struggle. Whether that's a mentality thing or what, I don't quite know. You know, it's not really. I can only give my fans' view of it. I mean, you know, but all the games at this level are hard. It doesn't matter whether it's Norwich or whether it's Liverpool or City. You know, we're in the Premier League now. We're playing with big boys. All 20 teams are there on merit, and we're not going to have an easy ride. And I think maybe we've been duped slightly with our great start into thinking, well, yeah, this is going to be a cakewalk. We'll be fine. We'll be mid-table and all the rest of it. And actually, the last 3-4 games have been a bit of a reality check. And yesterday was a real stinger in that respect. It was like, you know, it felt like a real kick in the nuts, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a few kicks of the nuts recently, and they just thought they'll actually just kind of finish us off with the Norwich. And again, we keep saying this with all due respect to Norwich. We're not disrespecting you. And I was on two of their podcasts, you know, beforehand, and I played respect to them. And I actually said to them, look, you know, you're putting yourselves down. You actually might get a result against us because, you know, you have got decent sides. You have, you know, you do play decent football, and all you need is to score a goal, and you're going to get your peckers up. And that's exactly what they did. You know, for me, you know, my main takeaways are, and it's very obvious this, but we're a shadow of the team that, you know, that started this season, you know, for whatever reason that may be. I mean, I think that we cannot, you know, I mean, I was talking to some of my Premier League chums, and I was saying to them, look, you know, we've got injuries, and we need to try and get through December and into January, you know. And so we needed people like, you know, Arsenal today to do us favours, which they did with Watford, and they beat them 1-0, you know. But for us, we are a shadow of a team, and the main takeaway from that, and it's been said a lot, and I think it's said on the post-match podcast as well, Pride of West.London, check that out after the Norwich match, is that I never realised. I think I underestimated the value of Rea to our team. Not saying that we didn't know he's a good goalkeeper, but I didn't realise how everything else would collapse around it if he's not in the side. You know, especially if you've, you know, you're missing, you know, maybe one extra defender in there, because I think literally just the whole way that we play has been completely and utterly turned on its head. And we haven't got the personnel at the moment to play the way that we normally do. And that's why we've seen this kind of sort of ghost Brentford side, this kind of really weird Brentford side that no one really understands what's going on. So far, my takeaway is that, you know, we're a shadow of the side that there was before. The injuries have really affected us. Rea being out is massive for us, like really, really massive for us. And we need to we need this rest, and we need to come up with a major plan to kind of just, it's almost like put our finger in the dam. I think, like, you know, a kid to put his finger in the dam for the next few weeks, you know, because it's not a case of trying to get wins out there as such. I think it's a case of not trying to get losses and just trying to keep ourselves right in there. Because again, if we bit points and clock up the points for now on, we'll be okay. But as if we keep on continuing to lose like this, we're going to see our heads go down.
I was just going to say, like, you know, is it really a mystery? Because, you know, Rea, I agree, miss him. We're missing 1.5 players with Rea, because he's not only a goalkeeper, he's a, you know, he sets a lot of moves up as well. You know, Aya, we're missing him terribly. Yanel, we're missing him terribly. And we've missed Mbeumo terribly, you know. And I'm not sure, you know, Mbeumo, he put in a proper shift, but Yanel wasn't fit. You know, and I was missing, and you know, it's not, without those lot, we aren't the same team as we set up. You know, with them in the team, and we've got the sort of like the raw ingredients to go back to being how we were at the beginning of the season. I just hope that they're there for the Newcastle game.
Listen, right, we're going to come back to that because we've got many more points to discuss. But look, what we're going to do, first of all, we're going to go over to the opposition. We're going to go over to the Norwich fans. We've got Dave Freezer from the Pinken and also from the Eastern Daily Press as well. And he was there at the game yesterday. He's going to give us his main takeaways from that match.
Dave Freezer here from the Eastern Daily Press and Norwich Evening News. My second attempt at recording this short verdict. I had tried a first time at the stadium, but was then very busy as we found out that Daniel Farker was about to be sacked. So we were quickly getting our ducks in a row so that we were ready for that to be announced at 7:30. The manner of which was all a bit of a surprise, but that emphasises why there was such relief about the result. They'd gone 20 Premier League games spanning two seasons without a win, only two draws in that time. So to see them actually play well in the first half, press Brentford, work hard, have a bit of quality, had meant a great deal. And certainly at half time, that was the best they'd played all season. Matthias Norman scoring a good goal. He's looking like a really good signing for Norwich, to be fair. He is looking very much a Premier League player and had been threatening to score a goal like that for in recent weeks. Had tested the keepers quite a few times in recent games and has kind of been the shining light for Norwich. I'll give it 6 out of 10 because it was very scrappy, particularly that second half when Brentford really bombarded Norwich and put such heavy pressure on, and Norwich were just clinging on, if we're perfectly honest, in that second half. But for how they played in the first and how they set up the win, I'd say fairness rating 60 out of 100 is about right. But all those celebrations, just how relieved they were. It felt like they had just removed that bit of pressure going into the international break. And as you can see from the body language in the way that the Norwich players were really going for it, the way that Farker was doing his celebratory waves and everything with the Norwich fans, they didn't know what was about to happen. They didn't know that it was literally about to come to an end. Obviously some very good moments under Daniel Farker, but now they're only 5 points adrift from safety. And a new man will come in and they might just have some hope.
So that was Dave Freezer, Norwich fan. He's very happy. And he actually sent us a recording and he had to change it. He sent it to us straight off the game. And then he went, oh, no, we've just had a call. And yeah, Daniel Farker's gone. I'll have to change it. The Norwich sort of club called us in. So I've got to change the recording. So it's not the same as what he said earlier on, but I think the sentiment is exactly the same. He's obviously a bit gutted, obviously, because they like Farker. It's one of those sort of kind of love, not hate relationships, but they just, you know, I think the fans are a little bit torn, you know, on Farker going. But anyway, we shall move on. I'm going to ask you guys, listen, Brentford, I mean, this is a tough one because we didn't obviously didn't play great, but we did some good things in that game. So who was the eye catcher for you, Laney?
Yeah, it's a really difficult one, isn't it? You know, I think Brian Mbeumo's probably my man of the match. I wrote the match report this morning. Although I thought Rico had a decent game, I thought Mbeumo was the one that who was involved in pretty much everything positive that we did. He did have energy and real pace, and there's a couple of times he chased down balls that I thought were going out, or you know, wayward passes that Norwich were probably going to intercept, and he used his sort of afterburners to get the ball. I thought, you know, he was unlucky being caught offside. He was lucky with a finish still. It took a deflection to find the back of the net, so it wasn't a clean strike. But yeah, Mbeumo was probably the one player I thought, you know, he was the Brentford eye catcher for me. And I, you know, out of 10, I'd give him probably a, you know, 7. You know, he still wasn't at his best, and he could have shot a couple of times. He had the ball where I thought he could probably pull the trigger. But yeah, 7 out of 10 for me for Mbeumo.
Okay. And Tom?
Sam Angodos was my eye catcher. I think he came on. I think he was prepared to try and take people on. He obviously put in a wicked cross for the goal. And I think he's a criminally underrated player. I think he does suffer from that. Something that's been a bit of an issue for us in recent years. He's a bit of a square peg in a round hole, and he's an easy target for fans to get on the back. But the guy's a baller. And I think he did more in the, whatever it was, half hour that he had yesterday than others around him. I'm not going to be uber critical of certain individuals. I think, you know, look on any social media platform and you'll find out who where the fans' ire is currently directed. But I thought he picks up the ball, he wants to drive forward. He seems to be the only one that at the moment, when he's come on and he's had a couple of recent appearances, where he looks like he wants to attack. So I would be pleading with Thomas Frank and co to consider starting him.
And interesting, I mean, Godos as well, interesting because obviously for the Burnley game as well, he scored a great goal. And, you know, people actually thought he also was a shining light in that game as well. And it's one of the strange things with Godos. He came with so a little bit of hype because we were meant to get him the year before in the place of Maupay. It didn't really happen. And by the time he came, and he hasn't quite sort of, you know, he isn't Maupay. So I think there's a lot of, you know, confusion and slight disappointment with Godos, but he's a different type of player. But I hear that
he's a number 10, and the problem we have with employing number 10, we don't employ a number 10, at least not in the current model and shape. And so I think, again, I think he's been unlucky because he's played out of position. He's stuck out on the right wing, he's put in as a number 8, he's brought on with half an hour to go here and there. He hasn't been able to show us his true worth, and he's a false there we go, we're always pioneering new ideas, aren't we? A false 10. But yeah, he's a baller, and he just got to do more. Yeah, he's able to do more.
That's right. And just for me, quickly, my Brentford eye catcher, actually, I mean, Godos was definitely up there. You know, it wasn't great for Brentford, but you know, you have to look at a few players. But I thought, if you go back to it as well, defensively, I know we let in 2 goals, but one of them was a penalty. But I thought Ethan Pinnock, again, I mean, I say Ethan, we pick him out a lot. I thought Ethan had a great game. You know, he's so cool and composed on the ball. He's so strong as well. And he's brilliant on the ball. And I think he shifted out when we sort of changed formation as well. And I just think that, and he started to overlap as well. So, I mean, I just think Ethan Pinnock is such a brilliant player, and he surprises me every time because he starts doing things. I thought that he was quite a sort of slightly one-dimensional, but there's definitely a lot more strings to Ethan's bow than I ever thought. But anyway, listen, you know, we talked about the Brentford eye catcher. What about the opposition? You know, who was the opposition danger person for you, Tommy L?
Probably the goal scorer, Matthias Norman. I mean, he's their Buendia replacement, isn't he? And he took his goal well. I mean, we made it easy for him, in fairness. I mean, like, what, 3 or 4 players had a chance to clear the ball before it finally found its way to him. And, you know, he took his goal with aplomb. Other than that, I mean, I don't want to do them a massive disservice, but, I mean, it was a pretty poor game of football, to be honest, generally. And he was probably the one that stuck out for me. And that's not really giving him a glowing reference, though, is it? I mean, that was about it. He took his goal well. He was a little bit threatening. I mean, they completely faded in the second half. So
we were told by, I think it was Dave Freeze, actually, and also Talk Norwich City, they said to it that, you know, Norman, he's the key person. If you get given the ball and he'll start to control midfield, he's the one to look out for. So, yeah, big call that, Laney.
Storming Norman, yeah, I won't pick the same player because, but I think he was the danger man. I'm gonna go Tim Krul. I thought he pulled off a couple of really excellent saves, and he was instrumental in them keeping their noses ahead. The two saves from Norgaard. On another day, they go in. Well, they don't. On another day, they don't go in, actually, because Norgaard's had several chances in recent weeks, and he hits them too well. And the goalkeepers have pulled out worldies, or just have, you know, been in the right place to have a, you know, the perfect reflex save. We need those to be scuffed and hit the floor first, so the ball bounces and the goalkeeper doesn't stand a chance. It was straight at him, and that's not a criticism of Norgaard. It was a beautifully sort of beautiful connection. You know, they had power there, but yeah, Tim Krul, he played a massive part in that win yesterday. So fair play.
Yeah, you both picked players that I would have chosen for my opposition danger person, Krul and Norman, most definitely. And for me then, so I thought, let me go different as well. Let me see whether or not it's a toss-up between Pukki, who obviously scored the goal and he caused us a few problems with his runs. You know, there's an argument to say whether or not our defender should have been picking him up or not, whether or not he should have the opportunity. He obviously got pulled down for that penalty as well. But I'm going to actually go for a player which we all went, oh, he's actually all right, isn't he? You know, which was their left-back, which is Williams, the number 21. As well, and I just thought that he had a good game. He was causing us problems. He's found quite a lot high up the pitch, you know. And like I said to you, they were kind of pushing us back, and he was definitely creating us some problems, William. So I'm going to give that to them, you know. So we picked three different players for the opposition danger person. Moving on, I'm going to ask you what was, and I bet you've got them all piled up now as well. What was the stinker of the match, Laney?
God, there's loads. We're gonna hopefully we'll have a different one. I'm going to go for. I'm not going to. No, I was going to go for the time wasting, but I'm not going to do that. I am going to go, and I'm not going to go the referee because. But I'm going to say the referee letting Norman back on the pitch just when he was able to tackle our player. It was like he'd gone off for one of his several. Treatments. I think it was Norman, and the referee allowed him back on the pitch, but just when the ball was in the area that he was running onto, and I just thought, how have you allowed that to happen? So that was the stinker. I think, you know, yeah, I think he lost control of the game, the ref, but that was a perfect encapsulation of just how he wasn't reading the game, because there's no referee in his right mind would have let a player on after being off injured that he was allowed to come on and basically intercept a ball. I think he actually came on and made a foul, but it was a really odd decision by a referee that was making lots of odd decisions.
Tom?
Like you say, queuing him up, where to start? Poor individual performances, rubbish officiating, odd subs. But I'm going to go for Charlie Good playing as a striker for 20 minutes. Being perfectly honest, I thought it was desperately unfair on the bloke. You know, what's he doing up there? I mean, he literally did nothing. And if you're going to do that, I mean, you know, at least put a centre-half up there who's going to carry a bit of threat. You know, Pinnock, who can win the ball in the air or put in a decent cross, or, you know, a bit of composure on the ball. But Charlie Good just looks so out of his depth. I mean, I just thought that really sums it up. It reeked a little bit of desperation. And, it just didn't work. You know, it just didn't work in the slightest. And I just thought it summed the game up, really.
Do you think that, I mean, I'm not being funny, and we're second-guessing here. Do you think that do you think it happened because they were just basically trying to get the ball into the area, up into the air, and just cause loads of problems in the area? Because obviously Charlie Good isn't that great with his feet, but if I remember rightly, I think he scored a goal in the playoff final for Northampton. Again, I'll have to check that out, but I'm pretty sure that he did, where they sort of lumped him up the front there, and in the end he kind of put the ball in the back of the net somehow. So is it a case that we just thought, tell you what, let's just get as many people up the top there and create problems because, you know, we've got their game and we, you know, we're losing now and we're not going to, you know, if we feel that we can contain them with what we've got, let's just get more bodies up front.
Maybe. I mean, you like to think that everything that the club does, both on and off the pitch, is measured and thought about and calculated and all the rest of it. And yeah, maybe there was a plan there, or maybe they'd worked on it in training or something. But the simple fact is, it just didn't work. It was you know, it just didn't feel right either. I think that was the other thing. You know, there was just this sense that, well, what are we doing? Like, there's nothing there. You know, we'd been playing those long balls up to Tony. He'd sort of half stopped contesting them. I think, you know, he's sort of feeding off scraps a bit at the moment, and he was cutting a bit of a frustrated figure. So sticking another bloke up alongside him, I mean, didn't help either. So it was just very muddled and just baffling, really, and ultimately just utterly redundant and pointless.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering whether or not, you know, the stinker for me is Rico Henry coming off when he came off, because he'd scored the goal, and then I think he played on for a little bit, then he came off. Now, I understand them about talking about making tactical substitutions to try and change the game, but, you know, Rico was, you know, love him or hate him, you know, well, I don't think anyone hates him. He's a brilliant player. He's always causing problems, Rico, and he was always there to cause problems. And I thought that he was, you know, with the width that he was giving, you know, and the speed that he's got, we could always cause some problems. And we also had them pretty much pinned back in the second half. I don't think they created anything. And again, all the Norwich fans said to us, listen, the second half, mate, you came at us and you were probably unlucky not to get anything out of that game. So I was quite surprised that we kind of just relinquished the gain that we had with somebody like him, who was obviously had them slightly with their backs up against the wall. So I think that for me was the stinker of the game. But anyway, listen, let's move on, because we want to know as well. What else have we got here? Oh yeah, of course, because every game, well, most games hinges on key moments, and I just want to know, Tom, what was your key moment of this match?
For me, it was actually the disallowed goal by VAR. I thought, you know, it's one of those things where you're there at half time, we've been completely abject for 45 minutes. And as a fan, you're sitting there, well, we've got to come out of the blocks. We've got to come out hard and we've got to go at them, and we've got to get an early goal, and that'll make a difference. And I know that we didn't score that long after it, but I felt it was a bit, you know, there's that for us in the stands, is that initial joy, and then VAR robs you of that, obviously. And I just felt that brought a slightly horrible air of inevitability to proceedings. You know, it was like, that's just not going to be our day, is it, really? You know, we thought he'd scored a perfectly legitimate goal. As Laney said, it was slightly fortuitous, the deflection it took on the way in. And I just, there was that sort of, you could sense it, you know, in the West Stand particularly, it was just this. All the wind just got taken out of ourselves. And I say, I know we scored quickly, not long after, but I think if that goal had gone in, we'd have come at them, we would have probably got another one quite quickly, and then it's a completely different ball game. But as it was, they managed to take the sting out of us, and I think the fans weren't quite in tune with what was going on the pitch yesterday, or weren't fully behind the team either. And I just think that probably was certainly the point where I sat, where I stood there and went, it's not our day.
Laney?
For me, when we scored, I looked, and it was around just after we scored, I looked, and there was 20 minutes left on the clock, and I thought, that's way enough time for us to get a second. And I thought I was really confident that we would do that. And correct me if I'm wrong, and sorry if I've got, you know, I've identified the wrong player again, but I'm sure it was Norman, because he was the one with the blonde highlights. And he went down tactically, I think. He might have been injured, but it wasn't quite the delay that it ensued. His injury, or the treatment for his injury, took all of the wind out of our sails, and I looked at it on my watch, and it used up over 3 minutes of time. And I know the referee added, you know, the time back on, but at that stage we were kind of blitzing them, and I just thought, okay, it doesn't really matter. It's not like the last 5 minutes and they're wasting time. There's 20 minutes to go. There's enough. But before that injury, I thought the momentum was really with us, and I thought we could get at least a point and maybe go on and win it. But that injury on with 20 minutes to go, it was almost when I looked up next, it was almost like it's 15 minutes to go. So yeah, that.
And for me, just quickly, it was actually it was the first goal. It was the first goal, which unfortunately, not like last week, which came under after 3 minutes. So he gave us a 3 minutes extra on this one. We had an extra 3 minutes, so it was a 6 minute. And it's also the way that goal came. You had, you know, basically the fluffed clearances were so bad. They were just so terrible. Like, you know, I think even Ivan Toney, who's normally great at doing this, he just had a fluffed clearance. You could just tell that they just weren't on their game, you know. And when that first goal came, the thing that it did is it killed the crowd. So, you know, Norwich didn't need the crowd on their backs. All of a sudden, it killed us as the crowd. It killed the team's confidence. It just killed everything. So I think that first goal, and also it got Norwich and their peckers were up. Before you knew it, they were all over the place. They were all over us. So that first goal for me was definitely the key moment. And if they hadn't scored it, it actually could have been a very, very different game. Anyway, to move on, just quickly, just give us a quick summing up on positives and negatives. Laney, just a quick summing up there.
The positives were there were very precious few. The positives were there was a reaction at half time, and that Brian Mbeumo got minutes back, and we saw a bit of Yanel. The negatives were I haven't got enough time in this slot for the negatives. There were way too many, and you know. Yeah, I'm not gonna take a pop at fans for balling the team out again today, but it was just that, yeah, the negatives were just that the energy levels are so weak, and we need this international break, and you know, looking at the league table now, it's not quite as reassuring as it was.
Just quickly, talking about fans. There are a couple of fans. We heard that there are some fans that left in the North Stand as well after we went 2-0 down and just said, this is horrendous, this is terrible, and they sort of left as well. That's what we heard.
Well, they didn't say that. They said, we've had enough of this shit, and walked out, which is kind of like really, it's a really odd thing to do. And the other thing I've just say as well, Bill, the bloke on the podcast, the post-match podcast, he said after the second goal, he was like appalled by the players, but he went in had a beer at 2-0 down, and I'm thinking really. I mean, you know, I'm not gonna ball out individuals. It's like, but the team need us, you know what I mean? You just like, you know, we've got no divine right. We can't be looking at games going, you know, we're not gonna win every week. You know, the team need us as much as we need them. You know, like walking out halfway through the first half, it's a bit odd. I thought, but there you go.
Yeah. So just quickly as well, and tell you something. Have I done yours? Was VAR disallowed, wasn't it, Tom?
That was my key moment. Yeah.
You've got a key moment. So listen, so give us your positives and negatives just quickly.
We've touched on most of the positives. Godos, Rico's performance, and Pinnock again was absolutely faultless. Negatives, it's pretty clear. Again, you've touched on this, but without Reyes' distribution, we're really struggling. The shape stroke system does seem to be faltering. I mean, I have a bit of deja vu over it. It feels like 18 months ago, 2 years ago, when we crying out for a change of shape, and all of a sudden that reignited us. It's like the players that we currently have available just don't fit the shape. That's what it feels like. And of course, another injury. Zanka went off after, what was it, 12 minutes or something, seemingly innocuous, and various rumours flying around social media at the moment that he might be out for a month at least. That's a worry, obviously.
Yeah, and for me, you know, positives, Godos. I mean, Godos is a positive because he's one of the players that you thought, if he comes on, you know, whatever. Now you're actually seeing him as one of the talismen. So I think that's a big positive. On the negative, the injuries, we've gone on about that. But this is actually really key, because this is really going to change our season, because, you know, it just goes to show you how things can change in a minute. And I think the injuries could really, really cost us. And we need to see if we can come up with something. You know, I was talking to my chums, the Premier League chums, and they said to me, listen, you know, I know you don't do loans, but maybe you might need to have a loan. Somebody who's up and ready and up and running to try and make sure that they can sort of plug some holes for you in January if you need to, which is an interesting thought. Anyway, just quickly, coming back to this now, the day out, fans, your away day, the day out, the vibe, the atmosphere. Tom?
It was my birthday yesterday, and I was having a great time. Thanks, mate. I was having a great time until about 4:45. Yeah, it wasn't great. Like, again, a bit like the players, it seems we're very capable of getting ourselves up for the perceived big games, and then maybe there's the lesser ones. Is that maybe there's that slight trepidation and people are thinking, oh, bogeys are a bit more worry. Doesn't help when you're a goal down after 6 minutes and a sloppy goal as well. You know, and I always feel sorry for fans at that stage because it's hard to get going. It's hard to sing about your team when they're just being rubbish. It's like it's not easy. So that was a problem. Also, there was what happened with Hey Jude at the start of the match. That was it was like sort of a clip, like a bit of it, and that was it. I was like, no, that's been actually a real go-to thing for us this season. It's been a real thing, really noticeable thing that really gets us stirred up and riled. And yeah, why didn't we do that? What happened there?
Yeah, that was, I was going to bring that up as a stinker, actually, how the Hey Jude, you know, trying to us being sort of very, very, superstitious, and all of a sudden the full Hey Jude wasn't there, just a clip of the Hey Jude, and that kind of sort of threw us. So normally when you actually, like when Brentford kicking the wrong goal in the second half as well, it was one of those situations, I thought, as well. Some people are saying it's because of the Remembrance Day ceremony beforehand, we didn't have the time, so we actually had to cut it, so that may be the reason why, but I figure that definitely threw us. You done there, Tom, on your wait, marks
yeah,
out of 10?
Yeah, I mean, not much, marks out of 10, 2.5, 3.
Okay, Laney.
I thought, to be honest, from where I stood, I can only ever kind of comment from that. I thought the atmosphere was pretty decent. I didn't hear any of the toxicity that others did. I didn't hear any of that. So I thought we sung pretty much during the second half and got beyond the team, and they had a decent reception afterwards. So I thought fair play Brentford. I thought Norwich City fans were the best I've seen. I thought they were loud, and they are having the most awful season, and for them to turn up in those numbers and be that enthusiastic and that supportive before, during and after the game, I thought that was incredible. There's quite a lot to learn there.
Yeah. So marks out of 10, Laney?
Overall, 3.
3 out of 10 as well. And for me, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 10. It's not my fault, but, you know, I didn't get to the game till late because I thought I was playing a game in the morning, so I missed out on that one. And then after the game, I had to shoot off early because I had a bit of a family situation at home after the game, so I didn't have the full... I managed to get the post-match podcast done, but I had to shoot off as well to go and see a family member who was not particularly well. So that was kind of crammed into having seen a horrible game with the atmosphere. I thought, I said, wasn't the best at all. It's one of those ones we keep saying we have to raise the atmosphere for games like this, but we couldn't do it because obviously we'd be letting a goal after 6 minutes and the vibe wasn't 100% there. It was hard to kind of get them going. So for me, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 10 as well. And the away fans, I thought they did, to be fair, they did well. And it's one of those scenarios again where it's they've got nothing to lose. They're on a day out, they're coming out to Brentford, all of a sudden, bang, your team's won. It must be the most wonderful feeling in the world. We know that because we've been there. Listen, just quickly, the fair result. I mean, listen, the fairness of the result, as we go in for goal every week, when you're talking about XG, they talk about the fairness of the result, as in 100 is very fair and 0 is absolute travesty. Laney, what is your fairness factor on this game?
I think I went 60, didn't I? Because I think it was pretty fair. If you look at the chances that were created, I know we bossed it in terms of possession and probably XG, but I think that they had a couple of big chances second half. Pookie missed one. I don't know who missed the second one, but they dragged it past the left hand post, and I think they could have gone 3 up before we scored, and they had two late ones, so they had big chances. So I don't think it was particularly unfair. Another day we get a draw, so yeah, 60%.
A Tommy L.
Yeah, it's interesting what 24 hours kind of just let the dust settle and you sort of change your view on that. I've gone 65. I was tempted to go a little bit higher, but yeah, overall we got what we deserved, and I think Norwich got what they deserved. So yeah, you know, it was a kind of fair middling kind of result. I can't really say much more than that.
Yeah. I mean, okay, and for me, I mean, I actually went 50 on that one. It's because I actually didn't think it was a fair result. Just looking at it, I actually thought that we should have got at least a draw out of that. If not, we could have got a bit more. Obviously, it's about taking your chances. The goalkeeper, you know, number of. Really good saves as well, and good blocks. You know, for the record as well. Obviously, you know, team Pookie penalty. Penalties are up to 80% now on in for goal. So 8 out of 10 penalties are scored now. So obviously there's a big chance for Norwich there with Pukki on 29 minutes with the penalty. But other than that, they had one other chance in the area as well, which was one other chance in the area, which is Pukki on 48 minutes, which was 15%, 1-5, and then they had from the edge of the area they had McLean. Just 90 plus 6, and then Normanson's goal, to be fair, on 6 minutes was 1 in 10 chance that scores normally. But other than that, they had nothing inside the area. Whereas we, if you look at it, we had massive, massive great big red spots right in the middle of the 6 yard box. 3.13 is our XG to 1.34, And we had sort of Norgaard, 56 minutes, which is six out of 10 normally go in the back of the net. Canos on 88 minutes, nearly 1 in 2 of those go in the back of the net. We had Henry at 60 minutes. Well, that's the goal that he scored as well, which is, 1 in 2 normally go in the back of the net there as well. Norgaard on 14, 1 in 2 normally go in the back of the net. We had some massive chances just there. And on top of that, we had probably about 8 or 10 chances in the area as well, which didn't happen, for whatever reasons. Norwich's defending was great, blocking, whatever it may be. So I'd say that was unlucky. The actual fairness factor on this was 48.48, which is actually saying that the fairness was it was actually in the orange going into the sort of like basically not fair zone. Brentford should have got a lot more out of that game, but they didn't, because it's come down to, again, us taking our chances, and we're not taking our chances. And there's a lot of conversations at the moment about Ivan Toney, and we're not knocking him because he's got a great game, what he does, but Ivan Toney, we discussed it beforehand, is that exactly does he need to does Ivan Toney need to be leading the line a little bit more, or is there reasons for the way that he's playing? But anyway, we need to move on. League recrap. I'm going to say it's a league recrap. Yeah.
Freudian slip there, mate.
It wasn't that. That was actually planned. So Redford, we've actually gone down a few places. We're down to 14th now. We've still got 12 points in hand from 11 games. We're just below Southampton, who are on 14 points, and Leicester City on, I'm not sure what they're on actually, because they played, they're probably on 15 points now, because they drew the Leeds, I think. Everton as well on 14 points, and Tottenham Hotspur, they're playing tonight, so I'm not sure what it's going to be as well. And then just below us, Aston Villa, who Dean Smith has just been sacked from Aston Villa as well for losing 5 games in a row. They're on 10 points, so they're 2 points below us. Watford below us as well, because they lost as well today to Arsenal, which we're quite happy about, on 10 points. Leeds United are on 11 points. They're a point behind us as well after drawing today. I believe they did, unless they scored late on against Leicester. So we're kind of creeping. We're looking back down at the moment now. I mean, any results for you, Laney, kind of caught your eye?
Yeah, the Watford defeat, obviously that was important. Leeds not winning, they took the lead, but then Leicester equalised. We have to be looking at literally all those teams around us. I mean, Burnley got a point at Chelsea, which was a decent point, but it wasn't a win. Newcastle drawing as well. So, I mean, it's just important that everyone around us doesn't pull away, and we can get through this stinky run and start picking up points again, which we are going to. I think it's going to be a season like that. I think the Watford game was probably the most significant. I would normally look out for Norwich, but they seem to have won this weekend. I don't know who against.
Yes, yeah, I might have to look out for that. Tom?
Yeah, no real result as such that I was looking out for, but more just a general sense of what's going on around us elsewhere. Norwich have just sat their manager, so there could be a bounce factor there for them. They might find some form. Burnley do appear to be finding some form. A point at Chelsea is a good point, and they obviously won the week before against someone. Ranieri's in at Watford, tinkering away. So it's just that slight niggling worry, and I'm generally not a pessimist. I've been pretty positive about our chances, and as Dave says, it's a stinky run, and we will come through it. But I'm just a little concerned about what's going on around us. Newcastle might spend heavy in January.
New manager as well.
Yeah, so that's what bothers me. It's like, everyone says, oh, well, you only need 3 teams to be worse than you. And it's like, well, if you look at it right now, it's probably about 6 or 7 teams down the bottom end of the table who are all on a bit of a par.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, and for me, I mean, I'm the same as you. Again, I'm looking around what's happening around us now. Like I said to you, looking at 538, which we do every now and again, it's quite interesting because we're looking down as half at the moment now. They've got us finishing at the end of the season in 14th place on 45 points. They've got us finishing one place above Leeds United, who are in 15th on 44 points, two above Aston Villa on 44 points, three above Burnley, who are going to be fourth from bottom, they believe, on 39 points. I believe that is. And then Watford, Newcastle and Norwich, they got finishing in the bottom three places. You know, 34, 32 and 27, they've got those bottom three teams. But obviously, you know, things can change quite a lot. And this is only just a predictor based on what's been going on at the moment now. But what's more interesting is that, you know, our chances of relegation have gone up slightly to 12%. It was 9% before and I think it was like 5% before. But it's actually creeping up a little bit, I think. So I would like to see those chances of relegation, you know, creeping back down again, like you know Southampton are just above us at 9%, Everton are 8%, you know, Wolves above that are 5%. So we've got to keep on, you know, we need to just rack up a few more of those points so that we can actually kind of keep ourselves in the clear. So anyway, look, give us a summing up, Laney. Give us your thoughts, your summing up, your vibe. What are you feeling?
Thank God it's the international break. Thank God we've got those four games out of the way. We normally sort of like we kind of predict how many points we'd be happy with between the international breaks. We would have been disappointed this time for sure. We got more than we dared dream about in the previous one, so they've just averaged themselves out probably. I think in my head, having two or three more points in the bag now would make us feel a whole lot better than where we are. I'm not really looking over my shoulder yet, and I'm really not going to be dragged into this kind of pressing the panic pants button thing. You know, if some fans have got that already, then okay, that's your prerogative. But from my perspective, you know, I know in my heart of hearts we're going to be fine. But this season was never ever going to be about us kind of pushing for winning every week and pushing for Europe. You know, it's a learning process and we are learning, and sometimes the lessons aren't nice ones. So yeah, my summing up is let's hopefully come back rested with a lot more energy, and then let's go up to Newcastle and do them.
So flights cancelled definitely, Laney, yeah?
No, I don't rule nothing in and nothing out. You know, it's a 9-month season. Let's see where we are. Let's see where we are then. You know, I think we're going to do much better than we are at the moment. Don't worry about it,
Tom.
Yeah, I agree on the international break thing. I think it's come at a good time for us. Absolutely. I just hope we do something with it. My nagging concern at the moment is the shape. I think we've been here before with these three centre halves at the back, where, you know, it works for a period and then we get found out, and it doesn't seem to be a system that has much of a plan B. You know, it's back to those sort of old days where plan B was do plan A better. I don't think with the injuries it suits the players that we've currently got available to us. I think it does nullify Rico Henry somewhat. I think he's better in a flat back four. I think he just seems to get higher up the pitch more in a flat back four when he's just a bombing fullback as opposed to a wing back. I think he's a little unsure of when they go forward, when they go back, whereas when he's in a four, he just looks to his right and goes, right, they're two, those two are there, Norgaard's there, I'm off. So that worries me a bit, and I would like to think that they're working on that and possibly considering a change of shape. The problem with it will be who plays right back, but that's a, you know, let's see if that happens first.
And I mean, summing up, I mean, there's no great summing up. You know, we're not summing up is that we're in a bit of a bottom of a pit at the moment. Now we just need to dig ourselves up. So, as you said, 2 weeks off, and fingers crossed we can come back and we can dig ourselves out of it. I'm just a bit worried about the, I don't know. It's the psychological. Is that the moment now? Is the thing that worries me? I don't know, but I'm just wondering, hoping that psychologically our players haven't taken a bit of a kick to the nuts. And for me, summing up, I'm hoping that we can take these 2 weeks to get them psychologically back on track. But anyway, listen, been great chatting to you guys, talking about the weekend review. Don't forget to check out this week. We're going to have a Herd Game 2 podcast sometime later this week, maybe Thursday or Friday it's going to come out. So check that out on prideofwest.london. Other than that, like I said to you, I'm Billy Grant. I'll be sitting here with the chums. Laney.
Good evening.
We've also got Mr. Tommy L, the newbie in the house.
Thanks very much. Cheers, Billy. Cheers,
cheers, Tommy.
That's right. And like I said to you, I'm Billy Grant. I'm sitting down here and I'm very glad it's International Week. I'm going to go off to a San Marino and I'm going to hope that England actually score more goals than Brentford have done the last few games. And that'll be a little bit more happier. Then I'll feel much better. But as we can say, if we can get ourselves back, we can get ourselves ready. We're all going to go up to Newcastle. We're going to have a lovely weekend up in Newcastle. But we're looking forward to that. We'll be back in a few weeks' time, as we say. Come on.
Come on, UB!
Yes.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.